On this week's show, discussing, can marketing fix the labor shortage? With Tyler Campbell from StoryBuilder.
Construction is the world's oldest industry, but spends the least amount of money on innovation. When we realized people outside the construction industry didn't typically associate construction with technology like virtual reality, apps, and robotics, we started the ConTech Crew. Each week, we bring our listeners the latest in ConTech news and interview the minds behind the technological innovations changing the way we build. So strap in, enjoy the ride, and geek out. It's ConTech Crew time.
All right, we're live, and if you're watching in on YouTube or just listening in, you'll realize there's just two of us today. Why? Well, because I get to do what I want sometimes, and I just wanted to sit down with Tyler Campbell and rap. Tyler, how you doing?
Doing good, man. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to have you. If you don't know that smooth voice there, that's Tyler Campbell from the Construction Brothers. He's one of the top podcasts out there. One of my, what do we call it, co-opetitioners.
Co-opetitioners, yes.
Yeah. This podcasting medium's about all of us having a lot of fun, isn't it?
Dude, it is. And it's, I don't know. I think when I first started, I was very competitive. And then now I'm just like, screw that, man. Let's have some fun. Like, let's talk to people and let's just enjoy just spreading information around, like getting better collectively as a community here. And like, let's stop siloing good ideas. Let's just share them. It's good for everybody. It makes the industry better. We love it.
Yeah, we love it. We even had to cut our early call short so we could actually get this going because we were trading secrets along the way. It's like, I'm with you, man. I started this, and when I started in this medium, I was all, you know, oh, we got to be the best. We got to win this. We got to do that. And then I realized, like, I really actually like all those people. And like, I listen to their shows anyway. And I'm not like listening to steal them. And, you know, we'll talk about the backdoor world. Tyler's even introduced me to some of the people you guys have seen on our show recently. So
heck, like, yeah, man.
This is helping us all out, isn't it?
I think I introduced you to Marty, right? With Always AI. Dude, how cool is he, right? That's some pretty sweet stuff, right?
Oh, man. Always AI was huge. And Urban Machine came you that I reached out with. And that one just came out recently with Eric Law. Both of those blew my mind. And you want to talk, I mean, there was computer vision in the Urban Machine. So like that Always AI went right along with it and meshed. And it's robots.
Yeah.
And dude, we are a robotic technology show. You know that. So.
Yeah, dude. I love the Urban Machine. They call that little thing that picks out the nails, the bird beak. That's what they refer to.
The bird beat. The bird beat.
I love that. I love that so much. But no, man, it was funny. Like that all happened. Like we had Ben Patton on the show. Then Ben talked about Urban Machine. And then it just kind of all the things started falling into place from there. We met Marty. And man, just good stuff. Computer vision. It's I'm pretty psyched to see where that goes over the next couple years.
I'm totally with you. And before, I mean, for me, like there was always that, like computer vision and reality capture and laser scanning and photogrammetry. And I'm like, I'm kind of in the weeds on that where I don't understand what's what all along. So Marty was super cool at like laying it out. And then, so then when I got Eric to the table, like I understood what he was talking about of the beak and how it uses computer vision and how it's looking for the, you know, the metal inside and whether it's a, you know, something you pull straight out or screw because of what it looks like through the computer vision. I was like, that's just hot.
Now, I thought it was really interesting too, man. I lost this just when I looked at it first, I was like, oh, this is just embedded in the camera. No, it's not. This whole thing from NVIDIA is over there running behind the scenes. And I don't know, just that little fact blew my mind. I'm like, what? Oh, well, okay. So that's not actually that technical. I mean, it is, but.
it is. Yeah. And you know, that went to my edge computing background. And I was like, this is edge computing. And all right, we're getting ahead of the show. Everybody who's listening in, we've got to pause for a second. Oh, that's all right, man. You know, this is going to happen to us all day. That's why it's just you and I. So we can do what we want.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, I like that. I like that part. We are going to take, as we do, the pause for the cause. And we're here for Pause for the Cause with the ConTech Crew and Brent Darnell. Talk to me a little bit about what you're up to and what you can teach folks these days.
Well, for the last 20 plus years, I've been talking about this mind-body connection and working a lot on focusing on things like stress and nutrition and sleep and exercise and how that affects performance and how that affects longevity. We've been focusing on this peak level of mental, physical, and emotional performance. Construction in general is a highly stressful environment, and you see the stress. And you always get the "I'm fine" answer, but always try to dig a little deeper, because people say, you know, "I haven't been sleeping great, and I'm really eating crappy food, and I feel anxious, I feel depressed, I feel..." You know, we'll start to really get into those conversations and figure out what's going on.
Those are the critical things people need it's the little steps, right? You're not here to replace a mental health diagnosis, right? You're here, but there's some resources you've got that can help people kind of figure out if, hey, they might be headed down towards that one.
Right, exactly. Barring some mental health diagnosis, or if you think you have a mental health diagnosis, please go seek someone out and get that help and that diagnosis. But barring just a diagnosis, or you're really struggling or having suicidal thoughts, you know, this isn't going to help you probably. But to check in and see where am I now, and how do I keep from going down that rabbit hole, there's some great resources. And if you go to brentdarnell.com/resources, first, there's an emotional intelligence and physical symptom survey test. So we get your emotional profile, and we get your physical profile based on physical symptoms, and we tell how your body's working. And then we can correlate those two. And if you're experiencing burnout, it will show up in probably both of those evaluations. It's free. You just download it and do it. And just so see where you are. And if burnout's the top two or three that pop up and show up there, I would pay attention and start to really look at, what are you doing with stress and nutrition and sleep and exercise and daily reflection and those kinds of things that we know we need to do to keep us healthy and keep us sane and keep us on track.
You've got to check in with where you are. You've got to work on balancing. It's not about the diagnosis. It's about preventing people from getting too far down the road. Like, most of our construction folks that listen in, they take care of their cars. They keep them up to date. You know, this is no different. You've got to put in the maintenance on the body, on the mind, because you're racing this car around the track, right? We're not going to change that we're a bunch of race cars out there, but we can change that we do the right maintenance, take the right time, and really check in.
One more resource in there. It's the Tough Guy Survival Kit. Guy being gender neutral. It's specifically written geared toward more field folks, but there's a really great chapter on stress management and peak performance in there. And it talks about meditation techniques and mindfulness techniques and breathing techniques.
Well, those are all great resources. If you didn't hear that before, it's brentdarnell.com. That's brentdarnell.com/resources. Check them out. They're there for free. Brent, thanks for joining us on this Pause for the Cause. Now, remember, we're back on YouTube, so check out youtube.com/@thecontentcrew, where we're not only sharing the whole episodes, but we've got shorts out there as well. So catch the favorite little clips of our messages out there. Like them, follow them, subscribe. Now we're unfettered. We're not even going to do the news today, because I think you are the news, Tyler.
Cracking my knuckles. I'm getting Tyler ready, man. This is going to be news. Good.
So you've got the Construction Brothers, but that's really not your day job, right? Like, explain to folks what your day job is. And we share some similar passions that I think you're actually you're pulling the weeds back on. So let's hit on that.
Can I start back just a little bit? Because I feel like it lines it up a little. Like, so I started in the industry.
Let me okay. check with the producer for a second. Hang on. Yeah, I think you're good, man.
Okay,
go for
sounds
it.
Good. All right, so I started in the industry. You know, I started back in 2012. My dad actually started a BIM company in 2003. You heard that right. A BIM company in 2003, and they were doing LOD 400 BIM back in the day. That's what I grew up around. And so I'm also a sixth generation builder too. So that I just was surrounded by construction my whole life, right? This is just kind of in the DNA here. And so, you know, I went to work with my family business. I love that and stuff. And, you know, I kind of picked up a camera somewhere along the way. And then it was all kind of over. I started really investing a lot of time into that. And eventually, that's when we started Construction Brothers. And it kind of morphed. And we did that thing for a minute. And then I was like, you know what? I'm going to go start my own thing. And that's where Story Builder came into it. And ultimately, what we're focused on doing is not to be a marketing engine for sales necessarily, but it's to solve this labor shortage that we keep hearing about. Like, have you been to a conference lately, Jeff? Have you heard anything about a labor shortage? Apparently there's something.
Apparently there's a labor shortage out there. I mean, I keep hearing about it everywhere I go. I'm not laboring any less. So I think that there's a labor shortage for me personally,
So like we hear about this all the time. And the thing that really kind of grinds my gears, I'm going to go into that segment here. You know what really grinds my gears now? Is you go into a conference and you hear all this stuff, and that's great, but there's little action after the fact. So we're talking about this labor shortage. We're talking about the fact, you know, we got 40% of the skilled workforce is set to retire in the next decade. It's crazy, right? Like we hear this stat. We hear that, oh, we need 590,000 new workers on top of normal hiring to keep up with industry demand. Like you hear those stats and you're like, okay, all right, I know. But we don't actually go and do anything about it. And so that's where I kind of started flipping the script with this whole Story Builder thing. I'm like, if I'm running a business, man, I want a freaking mission. Like I want a mission. And I also want it, I want it to be tied to my passion, which I love construction. I love it. I love building stuff. I mean, what I got to do for the last decade of my life, that was a pretty cool thing. I've been able to put my fingerprints across the U.S. on different projects. That's freaking cool, man. But I had this other gift that I was able to leverage, and I just wanted to use it to help this industry that has done so much for me personally. It just really has done so much for me. And so that's, I don't know, it's kind of a gift back effort.
In a way. Well, I mean,
I love it. It's fun.
So many people tell you to chase your passion, and I think that's a little misguided. In like, you know, it has to be a job, but you did your job for a while, and you got a passion and have a passion for the industry, but you also picked up a camera and a microphone, and you happen to have like a skill in that. Like, let's be honest, you unlock that you're not just a builder. Not that there's anything wrong with being just a builder, but that your skill set goes beyond that, and your passion for the industry, and it's real and present danger. Right? It's a big problem.
Yeah, but man, it's huge.
It's a huge problem, but you also connected that, you know, to a what is a passion for you in telling a story.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I love talking about what's going on out in the field. I love that stuff. Like there's so much to be said about what happens out in the field. Like there's comedy that happens out in the field. There's so much drama that happens every single day. Like I've been thinking lately, like I need to shoot a documentary on a construction site, like a legitimate documentary. I think that would be freaking awesome. If there are any funding partners out there, let me know. Anyway, I just think it would be cool because there's stories all over the place in construction, man. There just are. I love it.
Well, I'll go to Revisto. So I was just at RevUp. By the time this comes out, it'll be about a month ago that I was at RevUp, but I was sitting there, right? And we had a bunch of builders around who were former field, like superintendents that have now moved back in and they're doing modeling. And this one was on show, hands moving. It was Sal D'Ambrosia, hands moving, things going. And some guy hits me to the side and turns and goes, "We should film this."
That's
me. I'm like, that's Tyler. But I'm like, we've also talked over the years, like, wouldn't it be cool to have one of those big conferences, have a comedy club where you lock it down. Everybody's got to put their phone in the zipper bag and we get up and tell the stories of what's happened.
Dude, yeah, the job trailer stories, that's the thing. If you could just get a line of superintendents for that stage, that would be the best thing that has ever happened. That would be amazing because there's so there's so much out there in construction.
And how can we use those stories, right? They are storytellers. If any of you listening doesn't believe me, just stop by a job site at some point or a construction office. Grab a superintendent or a foreman and ask them about their favorite job or their worst job or the craziest thing that's ever happened. And I hope you have a whole cup of coffee and a whole lot of time.
This is true.
Because what's going to happen? You're going to get this great.
You're going to get all sorts of stories.
You're going to get a story. So yeah. How do we take that story and do something with it?
Yeah. So, I mean, I really like to spend a lot of times trying to help people fix the issues, especially on conversations like this, right? So I hope we can dive in to just like, hey, here's some of the ways that I'm seeing that we can improve and, you know, go out and try this with your team. See if there's something here that you can execute on, right? I don't want to just sit here and say, oh, there's a labor shortage. Like, I don't want to say the thing about the conferences, like they're not actually giving, you know, ways to fix this and then not actually try to fix it myself. So I'll make sure I'm not falling into that trap. But dude, like first step for me, like how we can start telling our stories, how we can do this. Dude, you need to have a brand that actually doesn't look like a dumpster fire. With a bunch of raccoons flying out of it. Like, I'm not kidding when I tell you, man, I was researching fabricators one time and I do not remember them, and it's for the best. Their website had a GIF of an Apache helicopter. I'm not even kidding. An Apache helicopter, a pixelated American flag, and an American eagle. And that was their website. That was a steel fabricator. Mm. So, if that's you, this is The Intervention. Hello. Hi, my name's Tyler. Your website looks like dumpster fire. Your brand looks like dumpster fire. And you're wondering why people don't fall over themselves to come work for you. Really. Like, I'm going to go there and I'm going to get shot. Like, that's what they're thinking.
It's going to feel like the military. Wow, that's where, no offense to the military and all who have served.
Thank
but you knew going in what you were getting yourselves into.
This is true.
And you were all for it.
Yeah.
Right. So think about everybody else looking at that. That's where I agree with you.
You know, it's, and I know that's such a stupid, simple thing to say. It's like, oh, well, focus on your brand. Oh, typical marketing guy in me, right? You know, focus on your brand. It is really important, though. Like, it's got to be clean. It's got to look decent. Like, there's a reason why Google, there's a reason why Facebook, there's a reason why Dell, they spend tons of money on their brand and making it look good. There's a reason. It's not just for sales. It also helps them recruit. Okay. Like, we've been looking at this marketing thing like it's a sales engine, right? And that's, I feel like that's traditionally what we're taught, right? It's like marketing's for, you know, it's for sales. It's for sales. Like, we're getting, like, anytime I'm asked, like, hey, what do you want to do? They're like, oh, well, I asked them, like, what do you want to do? And they're like, I just want to sell more projects. I'm like, okay, cool. That's what I hear all the time. And so recently I've started flipping. I'm like, dude, okay, great. But also it's pretty tough in commercial construction to do digital marketing, and actually drive a sale. I'm going to say something a little uncomfortable here because a lot of what we do is like multi-million dollar projects. And those sometimes you just need to build a little more of a relationship to actually close the sale, which makes it hard to track. Mm-hmm. So what happens is the marketer does a really good job building your brand, and then they get canned because there are no conversions. And what you don't realize is it takes a lot of time to build those conversions up. So I'm looking at it going, all right, well, we need something that's more immediate. Holy crap, we have a labor shortage. People are looking for jobs. Why do we not take all of this marketing crap that we have, all of these things in our arsenal, in our tool belt? Why do we not flip the script? Let's just put it towards attracting people. Like, why do we need to build a good brand? Let's not talk about sales. Let's talk about, we just want to look decent for employees. Like, we don't want to look like a dumpster fire. We want to look like we have our crap together and like, hey, I actually might want to go work with them. That looks like a pretty cool organization. Like, they've got their stuff together. Right? We just completely blank on that. What's the reason? That's a good dang reason. Because there is a labor shortage. And it's really freaking hard to find good people right now. You know this, right?
Well, you're marketing your people when you're marketing. So think about it. It's like, and you're winning work and you're starting to think, man, I might be able to deliver that work because I'm running low on people.
Yeah.
And it's a relationship business. And the people are at the core of that relationship. So you're actually doing yourself a double service by focusing and refocusing the camera at the people. I can't tell you. I mean, I've come across this. I've come across a couple companies where people have been there for 18, 20 years. They believe wholeheartedly. They're treated like family. Mm-hmm. I had a guy tell me, like, you could put the world in front of me for another job. I'm never leaving. I love this place. I love what we do. And then I'm with you. When we were getting ready for this, I looked at the website and I was like, well, that's not what I get from looking at it.
Right. So how in the heck are they going to attract another person like that?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it could happen. Okay. Like happy accidents happen. Bob Ross, you know, that's, you know,
happy accidents happen.
They happen. and that's great. But we want to up the consistency on that. The cool thing is too, man, like, let's not forget, like, yeah, we're working on your branding to attract people, but guess what? This also will long-term affect your sales. We're just giving you a more immediate deliverable, all right? That's the thing that we could look at. Because I'm looking at it from a marketing perspective going like, how can I go into a contractor's office and say, I'm going to win you more work? When I know full well, it takes a lot of freaking time to do that. Mm-hmm. Okay? So if I want to keep my job as a marketer, I need to know what the problem is and what solution, like, I need to understand what the problem is and have a solution for it. And the biggest thing we have right now is a labor shortage. So anyway, tangent. But next step for me is be very, very clear about the opportunities that you have, like, all over the place, all right? Website needs to be clear, obviously. Your people need to be clear on the opportunities that you have too. Like, do your employees, your existing employees know who you need? Do they really know? Because that could be a big part of it. and if they do know, where do those people send their friends? Do you know where that? We have to ask ourselves holistically, what is the path to getting people onboarded? And for some reason, we just blank on this, right? We can use marketing strategies to do this.
All right. I want to dig into that because you are absolutely right. I have a number of times where it's happened where I was like, oh, this person would be great for that.
Yep.
Where do I go? Oh, well, send their resume to
Susie or
yeah. You know, and I'm
Bob
like,
Bob at HR.
Yeah. And I'm like, did Bob fine, get but that email from blah, blah, dot, whatever at gmail.com? Oh, it went to the spam. Yeah, I know. And you lost out on that person.
Yeah.
So and you're that saying that's not referral. The way to do it?
Yeah, no. You need to have a process. Like, you need to focus on having a system for onboarding new people. Like, if you get a referral.
You construction people in your process. I mean, come on. Process.
I need a system to wake up in the morning. I'm not even kidding.
Alarm goes off. Hit hand on snooze, wait for coffee smell to make it to the room.
Dead. Yes. Yes. I set my coffee maker for the morning and it is ready to go. So I roll out of bed with my son and he's like, you know, a 2-year-old who's been kicking me in the face all night and go grab my coffee. That's what I do in the morning. But
all right. So we need a process for marketing here and actually recruiting and then converting. So what does that look like in the modern world too, though? I mean, that's changed.
Yeah, I mean, dude, honestly, like, back to the website thing, what that looks like in the modern world is just having some digital asset or some digital system in place. Like, you don't need to monitor it or upkeep it nonstop. You need to just have one that's clear. You just need to have clear onboarding. Also, think through this, okay? If you don't have clear onboarding and you don't have a clear onboarding process and your A team employee goes and they refer their friend, okay? And their friend comes over and they try to apply and they can't apply or it gets lost in the spam folder and all of that stuff. What is that A-team employee? What's that message that you just sent to them? Right? You don't care about my referrals. So guess what? I'm not going to give them to you. It's an empty promise. If you come to them and you say, I need referrals, give me good people. And you got to have a dang good process to get those people in the door. People are falling through the cracks left and right. You got to make it clear.
Well, and I'm gonna take you to one of our other episodes that we've been talking about all the layoffs in the news recently.
Yeah.
And a few of us have been talking about that as an opportunity.
Oh my gosh, yes.
But what I didn't think about until you and I were getting ready to talk about this and sort of you being ready to bring this new Story Builder brand out and some of the ideas is we keep saying we have jobs for them, but we're not letting them know how.
No.
So if we go beyond the referrals, what are some of the next steps that we can do to attract that new talent? There's thousands of them out there right now, and we have jobs for them. Are you trying to reach the innovators and decision makers in construction technology? Then look no further than sponsoring the ConTech Crew. That's right, we're taking new advertisers. Email us at advertising@thecontechcrew.com to learn more.
I would say first step, if you haven't taken any steps, is you need to get your social in order. Social media, duh.
Yeah. Social okay. media?
Shocker, right? All right. You need to have a social media account. And the next step, once you get that established, once you get a clear, consistent stream of content coming online there, then I want you to look at the paid side, okay? I want you to get used to using the organic side, and then you can eventually start to flip the switch over to the paid side. Here is where I think the money is going to be at. Paid ads for recruiting, okay? Run paid ads for recruiting. Screw running paid ads for sales. You're a commercial contractor. You already know, and I already know, that probably doesn't work that well, right? Okay. Because it takes a long time to make a sale. But what you can track is an employee coming to your company. Like, oh my gosh, we hired 50 new people. Holy crap, we can track that. Success, holy cow, right? So what I would say is great imagery. Number one, that's my wheelhouse. Imagery, imagery, imagery. So images and videos, and then repurposing those videos and photos into hiring ads. Then you need to get super specific. Again, take out a piece of paper, figure out who you need, okay? Do you need a very senior level electrician, plumber? You know, who are you? What do you do as a contractor? Write those people down. Do you need somebody that's just a day laborer, somebody that can be just a strong back for you, you know, to go pick stuff up? Okay, great. That's awesome. We're going to create and repurpose those videos and those photos for that specific purpose to draw them in with a call to action to apply now and run those geographically around your business. Okay. We can target around your area and say, check this out. There's a great opportunity here that pays $20 an hour, whatever that may be. Have a link where they can apply. Super easy. And guess what? Look at that. Holy crap. We just got a response to our marketing efforts. And it's not dead.
And it's tangible. And it's things we're doing anyway, right? Yeah. We are taking and shooting. Now, it's not as quality as it should be. And that's something. But look, you're right. We've got marketing teams. And if you don't have a marketing team, I know a guy that can take those videos that you're already using to sell projects and sell to people.
Yeah.
Show that. You're almost always showing your workforce in those videos anyway. You're highlighting yourselves. You're highlighting your technology. You're highlighting all of those things. I really didn't think about it until you said you were ready to sit down and talk about this. And I'm like, wow, this is not the angle I thought we would go at.
Yeah.
But those are all really compelling.
Yeah. Dude, I'm seriously just stoked about this right now. I'm like, holy crap, this was a good idea, Tyler. Good job. No.
No, don't break your arm, Patty, on that.
Yeah, I like it. No, I think that for us, like, okay, so let's say you have a marketing team already in place. Great. You could probably find somebody that can help you with the video and photo aspect. They probably need help with that because that's not their expertise. Mm-hmm. Number one. Okay. Yep. That's not their expertise. But also, if you don't have a marketing team, I would say, you know, starting with, let's just get your brand set. Let's, you know, make sure you got a decent logo and it doesn't look like trash, you know, it doesn't look like a dumpster fire with raccoons running out of it, or badgers, you know, depending on which part of the world you're in. Let's make sure that that looks good. Let's go ahead and let's set up images and videos for you and make sure that those look good too, because we can use those over on your website as well. Website's not really where I want to be. I'll just say that, but there are people that can help us with that. And then from there, just the sky's the limit, man. Like the sky's the limit. As long as we're focused in on the key thing. And I have not heard a single contractor say, I don't really have a people problem. Like, no, it's like, no, I could use more people. I could use more people. That's all over the place.
At the Contech Crew, we focus on technology that solves industry problems, and we've always believed in our sponsors. So much so that I went to work for one of them. So today, I want to talk to you about Join. Every construction project is a unique prototype, and it's actually shaped by thousands of decisions that impact the owner's business case, design, and the budget. Today, the communication driving these decisions is disjointed across all the stakeholders. Work happens in email, Excel, estimating, resulting in delays, waiting for decisions, waiting for access to information, and sometimes that information is outdated and incomplete. Managing the expectations of the team and keeping the project moving forward is a constant challenge, and a lot of times drives skepticism amongst the contributors. Join empowers general contractors to build with confidence and maximize the potential of every project by connecting these owners through new workflows that fit into your existing processes. We bring design teams and trade partners into a single platform. There's transparency and collaboration in the decision making, which builds trust and sets projects up for success. You might be asking yourself, do you need another tool? Well, let me tell you, Join fits in seamlessly with your processes and your other tools. In fact, we're here to help those other tools. Regardless of your estimating system or your project management process, Join will be a valuable added resource without disrupting those other systems and your teams. So listen, put your spreadsheets on ice and leave your email behind for the decision-making platform for the built environment. Learn more at join.build. You're looking at getting the people that are out there now. I'm interested in, what do you think about the people of the future and getting more people involved in the construction industry from an earlier stage?
I have a little beef here, because anytime I talk to the elders of the industry, I'll say, I hear, what the heck business sense does it make for me to post on TikTok? Doesn't freaking make sense. Okay, I don't care if you're worried about the China thing. Or let's say Instagram or YouTube Shorts. Like, let's just pick another area, right?
Yeah.
And you're like, it makes no business sense. It doesn't actually get me sales. Hold up. Stop. Who's there? Who's there watching? Let's think about this. A lot of the gripes that I hear is, oh, there's just 14-year-old girls on TikTok. Hold up. Pause. Wait a minute. You're acting like those people, those 14-year-olds, may not have any value to the industry. Like, holy crap, man. No. What we need to do is we need to start planting seeds now, because we know that 40% of the workforce is going to retire in 10 years. If we don't react and we don't start pressuring into this and making the industry look good, it's just going to get worse and worse, right? So we've got to look at this tactically. Like, yeah, it may not feel good. We're going to put stuff out there, and we may not see the business, like, return on investment immediately. But, man, you're planting seeds for later, right? Like, you're planting seeds in this, you know, that 14-year-old girl could be like, heck yeah, man, I see this other rock star welder out there who's a woman. I see myself doing that. I want to do that too. You know, I see this other woman she's a project manager, or she's an engineer, she's an architect. Like, we have to convey that.
Well,
switch it to the guys as well. Same thing.
Well, yeah, I'll challenge it from the other side too, is like, You can highlight those women that are welding or doing electrician or in mechanical or even, you know, leading companies. And then they're like, well, it's just those gamer kids that watch the YouTube thing. And I'm going through this with a 14-year-old and I'm like, wait a minute. I just came again from RevUp that's built on a gaming engine. Mm-hmm. The future builders, detailers, people doing what you were doing for a living in BIM, Tyler, are gamers. They're going to be gamers.
I was.
And if you want to meet them where they are today, that's where they are today. Your future detailer is playing Call of Duty, Minecraft, and Roblox, probably all at the same time.
It's true.
and should yeah. see that we are this industry. There's this thing where we get really upset that, you know, like, oh, college is the only way for people, et cetera, et cetera. Well, college has done a great job. If you watched an NCAA football game recently, there's nine yeah. college, you know, there ads, are. Marketing ads in there.
Can I, and I'll be very vulnerable here for a second. All right. I went in to my family business in 19. I never went to college. I'm coming through this thing as an apprentice. Okay. So when I say like the construction industry has given me a lot, I mean, it has given me a career. It has. And it's come through mentorship, right? It's come through just hard fought battles of learning on the job. There are kids out there that don't want to go into debt to go to college. Like, and yeah, there are some kids that can go through college without carrying debt. That's great. That's awesome. Listen, I've been really a proponent of normalizing a gap year for a lot of kids too. You know, we got to start having these conversations earlier on. Parents, please, just, it's okay if your kid takes an extra year to go to school to make up their mind. It's all right. Let them go work a job in retail. They will learn a lot. Holy crap, they will learn a lot.
Like, I don't want to do retail skills. For very long.
that's fine too.
But that's, you know, great.
Yeah.
And it's not, and none of us is saying, and I'm not saying, college is a fantastic mechanism for higher education and learning. And there are a significant number of careers that require it. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is the scales have tipped and we need to re-tip them back in such a way. And something that always resonated for me is, you know, I'm a huge Mike Rowe fan. I was a huge Dirty Jobs fan. And then he came over into our world. But something I don't even think he highlighted enough was I saw him at Procore Groundbreak 2017, I think it was. Mm-hmm. And what he said on stage was, you know how many of those dirty job people that I covered that are millionaires that were going back to their giant houses in their fancy trucks and cars and had their boats and their toys? And I said, I was sitting there thinking, like, why don't we ever show that either? Why don't we ever show that foreman or that welder or that detailer leaving and going off home to their nice house with their whatever family and their whatever things they love to do and saying, you want to have this life? We got a path for you to get there. Because the other thing we have to look at in this generation coming up next, they don't look at life the way we did. And this is not you. I think you're just old enough that you're beyond this, but
I'm a millennial.
The Gen Zers, you know, they know nothing pre 9/11.
Yeah.
They lived 2008 through their parents, and now they have lived through a global pandemic. If you think they look at life like the rest of us, and the generations before them, you are sorely mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
They have a different set of requirements and needs. They've seen that we're destroying our world from a climate perspective. You can't recruit them the way that you always did. You need these new waves.
It's the thing that's interesting to me is like how many people have fallen into the industry, like just fell. Right. Yeah. Right. You could point around a room of people. Like if we go to any conference now and you say like, how many people just kind of fell into the industry?
Jobless IT dude 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And a masonry contractor was like, we need your help. Yeah. And I said, all right, it's a job. And then I realized, no, it's not.
Holy crap. This is awesome.
It's some of those people I still text with all the time. Yeah. And connect with it. It is a phenomenal industry that impacts everything we touch.
It does. And too many people just fall into it, man.
Yeah.
Fall into it. And it's, I think we need to try contractors, please just try to be more intentional with setting out a path for, you know, these Gen Zers, right? And I say Gen Z, I mean, what's the next generation that's coming online? I can't even remember. You know what I mean? Those young kids, yes. Right? We need to make sure that we're giving them a clear path forward. Let's say we run these things on TikTok. We're putting things out there. Okay, great. We're trying to attract them. But dude, let's give them an onboarding path. Let's say, hey, here's a summer workshop that you could go to. Are you interested in this? Go check this out, kid. You know, like, hey, talk to your parent. Let's get you plugged in. And that's the thing. Like, hey, listen, there are a lot of things out there for schools. And like, we talked to Lydia Burns. She's up at ACI and she's doing amazing stuff up in Ohio with connecting into schools. And for me, I'm like, yeah, but we're not actually meeting these kids where they're at. Like, we're going to them in school, but what about when they're at home? What about when they're hanging out at home and they're scrolling on InstaFace or whatever the heck, you know? What are we doing to meet them there?
Yeah.
And that's a great opportunity to get them plugged into our industry and attract them rather than just have them fall in later.
Yep.
Falling in later. Like, hey, listen, I'm happy I'm here. I'm happy you're here.
Yeah.
Like, it's worked out great.
Yeah.
But man, we got to get more intentional because guess what? The other industries are. They are more intentional.
They're way
kicking
more
our
intentional.
Butts. They are kicking our butts, and it's about people.
And they are far less equipped to attack them than we are. This is something that I've realized, especially in recently kind of looking at studies coming around about Gen Zers, and I'm with you, I'm blanking on what's next, but the next generations on what they truly care about. And they care about climate change, and they care about carbon, and they care about those things. Well, where else? I mean, we're 40% of embodied carbon as an industry.
Mm. Yeah.
How about putting things out there that are like, are you sick and tired of this? Come build green buildings. Come build the future. Come be a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
Do you want to be an innovator? Like, do you want to really invent stuff? Like, do you want to be a pioneer? Come into the industry. Now, okay, I get it. There are a lot of practices that are old and that are good. And there are a lot of things that sage wisdom that's been passed down from generation to generation. That's fine. Okay. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about innovating new processes, new ways of doing stuff with technology or even in the field with people. Like, there are just so many areas of this industry that you can latch on to. So many areas.
Well,
and you could build an amazing career in just one of those areas.
I had an episode with Chris Hager that came out, and Chris was like, you know, he woke up one day and realized there is absolutely no way for us to pass on the information like we used to. It's just not possible at the scale of loss that we have coming and the quickly aging out. So there is this idea and this need for people to take that knowledge and codify it into what we're doing so that next generation can be a part of it. And this is that group that you can get right now that can codify and still learn enough to look at how we're going to build into the future. And most of you out there in the construction world are already aware that you're going to have to flip. Right. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to bring in more manufacturing techniques to reduce waste, to deal with labor shortages, to build differently, to provide environments for that. I'm sorry, but the person who's been thinking one way the whole time can't think that way.
Mm-mm.
So you need somebody who learns their sage wisdom. You're right, Tyler. Like, we can't just throw out the baby with the bathwater either. Like, this is a process. So I'm wondering what else, and maybe while we have some time, like, what are some of the core reasons you got here? Like, what,
man,
tell me some of the things that, you know, convince somebody who doesn't believe us already. Cause there's probably quite a few listening who don't.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen, and that's fine. I get it. You know, it takes some time, but for me, like, core reasons that got me here was, number one, I love the industry. I love what we do. I love that there's so much opportunity in here. And I'm also a little bit irritated. I have a little bit of a chip on my shoulder because I was, you know, I didn't go to college. And I saw college absolutely rake so many people over the coals because they just went in blindly. Listen, I'm not saying that college is bad, but I'm just saying we're going in blindly, man, too often. And so for me, I want to approach that younger generation. ultimately. I want that younger generation to see, hey, guess what? There is another way. You can go through these apprenticeship programs, and that just requires marketing and placement of those things, getting systems in place so they can do that stuff. Yeah. So for me, like, that's my mission in life, is to help onboard the next generation. But, okay, the next part of this equation, and I know a lot of people are like, okay, great, Tyler, awesome. We've marketed. We've spent all this money. We've done all these things that you've said, and we can't keep people. Okay, this is phase two of StoryBuilder. I'll just go ahead and say it.
Phase two.
Phase one is literally just marketing side and like getting those systems and processes in place. Phase two is making sure that we're treating each other well. Okay, here's the thing. I can do all the marketing in the world. We can spend oodles of money on things to get people to you. But if you've got a crap place to work, I'm sorry, I'm not going to fix your labor shortage. I'm just not. So there has to be some introspection before we get into this. If you got turnover issues, we got to figure out why. Why do we have turnover issues? Is it because there's a jerk boss out there in the fab shop? Is it, you know, or any number of things? Is it an unsafe environment? Are we paid horribly? Are we like, what is it? Why? Are they just chasing the dollar too? Like, what is it? What can we control? We need to make the industry a better place to work, because this is more important than the marketing side of things. Because I've seen so many people, and dude, we posted a video about being a steel detailer, and it blew the flip up, because people were talking about the plight, how much anxiety being a detailer gave them, like how much it has affected their life. Some guys had to like move out to farms and like literally just to lower their blood pressure. Like they had to change their life around because it was just so hard. That's one facet of our industry. All right. This industry can chew you up and spit you out. All right. So as we bring these new kids online, they're very, very hyper aware of like, hey, yeah, life's too short. I'm a move on. Mm-hmm. So if we don't tackle the issue of being a dang good place to work, it ain't gonna matter.
Yep.
Okay. So that's why the second phase is a lot flipping harder.
Oh yeah.
Than the first phase, obviously, because that goes down to like team level and all of these different things. But man, like, let me give you two examples, right? And I'm sure, you know, we have a construction audience listening, but these are two personal examples of how the industry has chewed people up and spit them out. Number one, I had a coworker who came over and was like shaken to her core one day because she had gotten off with a customer of ours who had been talking to her in a very non-savory way. And I'm not just talking about mean, I'm talking about other stuff. Mm-hmm. And that is all too common. And the second thing is that there was a kid that worked at a company, I'll be very, very vague, who was loved by a lot of people in that organization. And he was on his way to work, and he ran into a garbage truck and passed away, right? Horrible, horrible, horrible accident, right? The team was shaken to its core. Like, we just lost somebody, man. This is real life, right? The foreman said, all right, life goes on, get back to work. Like, that's the kind of treatment that we give our people so often, okay? So if you have turnover issues, I need you to go evaluate each one of your leaders. Make sure that they're good. And if they are poison in the water, get rid of their butts, please. We don't need that in the industry. We need to be world-class, guys. If we're going to fix this issue, we got to be better than that. And those are two small things. And I'm sure there is a plethora of other things.
Well, there's a plethora of others. I'm going to go to your first one because, you know, yeah. I've struggled with this over time, especially because, you know, I'll bring it up and say like, listen, you know, there was a film that unfortunately never came out, and it's probably because of our industry, you know, hard-headed women, hard-headed women. It was supposed to be a film about following six women in the trades that, you know, and their plight. And by the time I met them, which was pre-COVID, you know, pre all of my even changes, a few of them are already gone because of harassment. And I tried to bring that up and was kind of kiboshed by the people running it saying, no, 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 that's not what we want to talk about. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Yeah, it is. Yeah. Like, if you don't look this, if you don't name this problem and look this sucker in the face and have a few of us out there trying to talk about it, you know, then we're not going to go anywhere. Let's do something I've never done on the crew. We're going to talk about this because I had this conversation with somebody the other day. When I took over the crew about 6 months ago, it was not lost on me that four white guys sitting on the crew was not necessarily a good look.
Yeah.
And I could have just continued that way. Or I can drink my own Kool-Aid and look at my own problem and start to grow and change and bring new new perspectives and bring new people in. And that's what I'm focused on doing. But if I didn't look at the problem and identify that maybe I had a problem, how was I going to address it? Right. So to the people I had that conversation with, I mean, that's real thoughtful. Look at yourself, you know, harassing behavior is the first thing we have to stop. And we can do that as a team. But having open, honest conversations around, hey, maybe this isn't a good look. Maybe we should change. And that's the first step to change. You don't have to be changed. You have to be on the path. By the way, change never ends, right?
Never does.
It's always a change. And oh my, the safety one, I'm sure when Rob listens to this, he's going to hear you talk about that person who passed away and then the foreman saying, hey, just move on. Do you know how unsafe that job site had to have been for not just his crew, but the entire crew? Anybody walking through there? Yeah. If you are not 100% and alert on a job site, you are dangerous.
Oh, yeah. Now it's a lack of care. And let me clarify too, in that situation, like he was coming through on a motorcycle on his way to work. Right. So like it wasn't actually on the job site.
No,
dude. Like, but even then, like, yeah, you think that foreman was cared about site safety or anything else for that matter? Like, I feel like we have this poison sometimes in our businesses and I would like to think of myself as good. Not part of the problem, and we're all changing. We're all trying to get better every single day. But man, if you see that junk, listen, the first step, we got to extract the poison from our arm before we patch that junk up, all right? And so often we just slap a Band-Aid on it and we're like, yeah, okay, move on. Like, it's going to kill you eventually. Suck the poison out and then we can start fixing some of these other issues.
So I'm wondering if you have ideas, if you have ways that people are doing that, because I think there is this, they call it quiet quitting.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I honestly actually don't want to call it quiet quitting because people get so mad when they hear that term first and foremost. But secondly, it's because it's not quiet quitting. Yeah. It's because we are allowing, especially in this new remote world, we are not able in some fashion to find those things and fix them. So how can leaders do that? Is there a way that they can?
I'm not going to sit here and say that I have a magic bullet for this one, man. I really don't know. And I really think it's just intentionality is really what it'll boil down to and putting people in place to actually call that crap out.
Yeah.
I would like to think that, oh yeah, you know, just get a leadership trainer to come in and help you out with that. Hey, that could help with some things. Yes. It's not going to be a magic bullet for anybody. Like, sometimes you're just going to hire somebody that's just a jerk face. So like, you just have to be intentional and go out and see your teams, hang out with them for a little bit, talk to them, take them out to lunch, build a relationship with them. We just treat people like it is just this little, I'm going to say like puppy mill, you know, we just crank them through. Like, it's just like, we don't take the time to get to know them. And I know you're growing a business. It's hard. I get it. But okay, then maybe we build that into the hierarchy. You know, it is expected for you as a team leader to go out and take your people to lunch, build a team, build trust and relationship with those people. Know what's going on in their life.
Yep.
You know, and I know it's difficult. I'm not going to sit here and say it's easy, but man, if we really want to fix the overall issue, got to get serious about this stuff. Got to.
And it's something, I mean, I have the luck of talking to a lot of leaders in the industry on a consistent basis. And
same.
And I always go back to the Simon Sinek, start with why, and then leaders eat last.
Yeah.
And what I got from those two books was, if you are listening in and you are a leader, as you grow, the most important thing that you can do is make sure that each person in your inner circle that you can touch has the same values and intentionality and vision as you do. Mm-hmm. Because at scale, you cannot keep your arms around everyone. And if you have one person in that inner circle that breaks it, the circle is broken to your entire company. And I've given that advice to a couple of different people over time. And more than once, it has come back where someone's called me up and said, you know, that's probably the single most important piece of advice I was given. And so look at your inner circle and make sure they value what you value and act the way you act in some respect. I don't want a bunch of, you know, it's not a bunch of clones. Everybody has their own personality. No. And that doesn't mean if you're a vibrant leader that that other person next to you can't be an introvert. In fact, I want you to have a few introverts, a few extroverts, a few extroverted introverts. I don't know. I'm just having fun with that one. But but I want you to have them. Because then you understand people's perspectives and you can grow at scale. See, that's the one thing, is that culture falls apart at a certain point. And it's up to all of us as leaders to look for that, call it out, and then work with it, right?
Yeah, it is. And I don't know. For me, I would just say, to kind of like getting granular with this, like, what can people do specifically? Like, if you're listening to this and you're like, I am a project manager, I'm not the owner of a business, right? Or I'm an engineer, I don't own the business. Like, I'm talking to the employees here, right? You control your part, okay? You control your part of this equation. So what does that mean? If you see crap happening, you need to call it out. Number one, duh, right? You need to get serious about getting right people around you. And if you can't get that square, or leadership is not helping you with it, even though you're crying to them for help, bail, get out. Go work for an organization that actually cares. All right. My goal, and this is probably on the sly, but like, I just, there's part of me that wants to run that other company that treated my coworker like crap, completely out of this industry. Like, I do not want that type of person to own a business. Mm-hmm. That, like, and I know that's just like a very lofty goal and very nebulous, but man, I want to make the companies that are so good even that much better at what they do. That's it, because I never want that to happen in our industry again. And if I can make a dent in that, then I will have done a service to the industry before I leave it, you know, like in a small way.
And so, but I will give you a little coaching. So here's a little coaching from me to you, because
bring it.
I understand how that started. But I was just reading a book called Think Like a Monk. And one of the things is, unfortunately, if that is where it comes from at the core, it will actually never reach its goal. It's okay that it started there, but now the goal has to be that I am going to market and drive people to work for great companies so that every company has no choice but to be great if you want people. Then that lofty goal will get you there. And bingo. That's the one thing you got to leave behind. And by the way, if you haven't read Think Like a Monk, I'm all over it. I'm a big book guy. And that one is...
I'm going to add that one.
That
I'm
one has that one really... I mean, the two things I got from it, one of it was that. And it's funny, every time I read a book, it seems like something like this happens. And the other one is like, listen, especially when it comes to culture, especially when it comes to what you're doing and what you're talking about doing, is we need leaders who are not afraid to plant the seeds of trees whose shade they will never experience.
You know, I heard you say that the other week, And I really like it, man. It's exactly right, right? Focus on bringing, making the industry better than, you know, when you found it.
And that's the beauty of is because of what happened to that person and those people, it drove you to want to make a difference. Now, the only thing you have to do is shift that intention to, I'm just going to make this place as great as it can be. And it's something I personally have had to do and had to understand. I mean, in my own journeys, you know, wanting to hit the book talks about, you know, wanting to make an ex jealous by getting in shape. Yeah. Well, that might be the reason you started in the gym, but consistently that will always disappoint you until you realize that, actually that's why I got in here. But ultimately, like, I'm a much nicer person to Tyler when I'm working out regularly. So I think to be fit and happier, I'm just going to continue this workout thing, and that's why I'm going to do it. So all you have to do is just a little tweak.
Yeah. It's just it's just a chip on my shoulder. That's it. I got a couple of them, you know.
We all got it.
It's okay.
It's all right.
It's all right. Hey, it's motivation, right?
It is.
At least for now.
Need a little motivation for now. But so with that, this is awesome. I'm so glad you took the time to sit down with me and rap about what's going on. And I'm really excited to see what you're doing big problem, big idea. Small little ones. You know, we had Wyatt from Procore on a while ago, and I loved his favorite. His saying that was favorite to me was, everybody talks about a moonshot. I want to build a ladder to the moon. Mm-hmm. And I feel like you have a moonshot and we have a moonshot with 549,000 employees needed or 39, whatever it was. But you're talking about building a ladder to get there in ways. So where can people go find out a little bit more, connect with you? I hope they're all listening into the Construction Brothers, because if you don't listen into it, you're missing out.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun over there, man. That's for sure. So yeah, just you could search on podcast apps for Construction Brothers if you want to find that. For me, I would just say look me up on LinkedIn. I'm posting over there a lot right now. Just find me at Tyler Campbell. And then if you want to check out anything that we're doing at StoryBuilder, it's storybuildercreative.com. And we're just making cool stuff and trying to make just contractors shine a little bit and help solve this problem in our own special way. So
let's just make construction cool again, man. That's our jobs, right? And hey, world's most important industry. You can't build bridges. You can't produce pharmaceutical drugs, labs. You can't treat patients if you don't have ERs, if you don't have hospitals, if you don't have those things. You just can't.
Hey, I'll say this. Construction is cool.
It is.
It is cool. Like, so I don't have to work very hard to make it cool.
Right. No.
It is freaking cool.
You're right.
Right?
We just have to take that coolness and spread the word.
Exactly. That's what we're doing. We're shining a light on it. That's all we're doing.
Well, that's awesome, man. Thank you so much for taking the time today. It's been awesome.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
And thank you for tuning in today to Geek Out for our interview with Tyler Campbell. To learn more about our guests and to listen to this show, visit thecontentcrew.com. This is the Content Crew signing out. Until next time, enjoy the ride and geek out.